Good morning. This is Commissioner Susan Wefald. Today is October 3rd, 2007. The commission is meeting today in the commission hearing room, 12th floor of the state capitol meeting building for its regular meeting. And with me today are Commissioners Kevin Kramer and Commissioners Clark. Any opening comments?
Just good morning and welcome.
Good morning, welcome. I move passage of items in the consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
I might note that the consent agenda is rather long because we have our proposed rulemakings on that today, so.
Right. And the package of those, I believe, is right here in case anyone's interested in what the commission is proposing in proposed rules now for rulemaking. Going to SW1. I move the commission send a letter informing jurisdictional electric and natural gas utilities that it will continue to review but no longer take action to approve monthly fuel cost and purchase gas billing adjustments. As you're familiar with, every month the commission has fuel cost adjustments and also purchase gas adjustments on the agenda. And in the last, I would say, year and a half at least, the commission has been announcing what the fuel cost adjustments are rather than approving them at each regular meeting. At this point, the commission is still approving the purchase gas adjustments, but as of this date, we will no longer be approving purchase gas adjustments. We will be announcing them at the meetings just as we do the fuel cost adjustments. There's a good reason for this. When the commission decides that it, when the commission takes an action to approve either a fuel cost adjustment or a purchase gas adjustment, it means that the commission is doing just exactly that. We're approving it as of that date. It makes it harder then if the commission, if there's any questions raised later about that, to go back and to take a closer look at that fuel cost adjustment or that purchase gas adjustment. And so this will give the commission greater flexibility. It does mean that we will continue, as we have been over the last year and a half, for example, for the fuel cost adjustments, to take a very close look at these each month and to announce them to the public to tell what they are. However, it will give the commission additional flexibility in addressing issues, complicated issues that sometimes arise regarding these adjustments, both in gas and electric fuel cost adjustments, to be able to take action in the future, let's say a hearing, if we decide when it's necessary, to be able to take future action if concerns arise from any source. So the letter we're sending today is informing the jurisdictional utilities, and I'll just read it to you. This is to inform that the commission will no longer approve monthly fuel costs and purchase gas billing adjustments. These adjustments are authorized under commission-approved tariff schedules, and there is no requirement that they be approved. The commission will continue to review the monthly adjustments just as it always has, but will not take formal approval action. The commission retains authority to include an evidentiary hearing in its review under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6909.01.30. Section 10 and Section 6909.02.39, Part 11. The requirement that utilities file annual independent audits will continue under North Dakota Administrative Code Section 6909.01.30.11 and 6909.02.39.12. And this is being signed by the three commissioners and sent to Montana Dakota Utilities, Otter Tail Power Company, and Xcel Energy. Everything seems to be in order.
We need a second.
Second.
Sorry about that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. SW2. I move the commission issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in the application of Otter Tail Corporation for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and own a 40.5 megawatt portion of the 159 megawatt Langdon Wind Energy Center being developed in Cavalier County, North Dakota, case number PU07607.
Second.
Now, this is not new news. For some time, even at the time that Florida Power and Light and Otter Tail Power and I believe it was it Minn Kota, who announced the Langdon Wind Energy Center last spring. Otter Tail had announced that they would be constructing and owning 40.5 megawatts. However, it took quite a while for the contract to be signed. And the commission received paperwork just recently, August 8th, that those contracts had gone through, and they have at this time applied for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and own these 40.5 megawatts of the Langdon Wind Energy Center. The portion that Otter Tail would own would be, I have a map here, and it's in the northeast part of the project, and on the map that I'm holding up, it's numbered as F2 and F3, and I'll be happy to provide this map to anyone who is interested. The commission is, as you can see, is issuing a notice of opportunity for hearing. We're not convinced that a hearing itself is necessary unless we hear from parties that they want to have a hearing. We are requesting that comments and requests for hearings must be received by November 13th, 2007, and if deemed appropriate, the commission can determine these matters without a hearing. Just to give you an idea of the type of facilities that Otter Tail is proposing to own and operate, the F2 zone and attachment 2, which I just showed you, contains 15 1.5 megawatt turbines, 15 1.75 MVA transformers, one grounding transformer, and an underground 34.5 kV distribution feeder or system to be owned by Otter Tail. An F3 zone contains 12 1.5 megawatt turbines, 12 1.75 MVA transformers, one grounding transformer, and underground 34.5 kV distribution feeder system to be owned by Otter Tail. An additional Otter Tail underground 34.5 kV distribution feeder or system is also depicted stretching from zones F2 and F3 to reach a substation that would be owned by FPE Energy. So that's the type of facilities that we're talking about that Otter Tail proposes. All right. I think everything seems to be in order.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, that's interesting. F3. SW3. I move the commission find the complaint filed by Capital Electric Cooperative, Inc. regarding the provision of electric service to Promontory Point 4 addition to the City of Bismarck states a prima facie case, and serve the complaint on Montana Dakota Utilities Company, case number PU07682.
Second.
Now, Promontory Point may sound familiar, as it should, because the commission has already scheduled a hearing on Promontory Point 3, and that will be held on November the 19th. And we also have a hearing scheduled on Sonnet Heights, on November the 20th, that will deal with issues regarding whether Capital Electric Cooperative or Montana Dakota Utilities should serve those two areas that are part of the City of Bismarck. Now, this is Promontory Point 4, and what the commission is doing today is saying that this states a prima facie case. That just means that this is the first step, and now we wait to hear MDU's response. I will say that Capital Electric Cooperative is proposing that Promontory Point, that the issues in this Promontory Point 4 addition be addressed on November 19th at the same time as we hold the hearing on Promontory Point 3, because they say that they are very similar.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, next we go to AML motions. SW4, I move the commission issue an intent to award a contract to TNC Drilling, Inc. in the amount of $75,490 for exploratory drilling at two abandoned mine land sites in Mercer and McLean counties. The commission has received bids, and this was the lowest bid. This will address the abandoned underground mine site in Mercer County that's located in the southeast part of Beulah. And the other one is in the southeast part of Beulah, and the other is located along State Highway 200 east of Underwood in McLean County. Three bids were received. This was the lowest one.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW5, I move the commission issue an intent to award a contract to Hanson's Excavating, Inc. in the amount of $10,800 for sinkhole filling at abandoned mine land sites in Ward County.
Second.
This is not a large project, but it is an important one. It's sinkholes on three tracts of land south of Sawyer in Ward County.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. SW6, I move the commission issue an intent to award a contract to Hanson's Excavated, Inc. in the amount of $21,187.50 for sinkhole filling at abandoned mine land sites in Williams and Divide counties.
Second.
Again, this is not a large project, but it is important. This one is located in Divide County, just south of Noonan, and the site in Williams County is near Hank. So work will be done in two counties with this $21,000 bid.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That ends the items in my portfolio. Next, we'll go to Commissioner Kramer.
Thanks. I have a couple. KC1. I move the commission adopt the order granting the request of Montana Dakota Utilities Company and Great Plains Natural Gas Company for waiver of 49 CFR Part 192.481, changing the times to complete atmosphere corrosion surveys in both their residential areas and business districts to coincide with the required leak surveys in those areas.
Second.
The Code of Federal Regulation requires that pipeline companies inspect their onshore.
Rock and roll.
Okay. That's okay. I like a little mix-up every once in a while. Require that onshore natural gas pipes exposed to the atmosphere be inspected for potential corrosion every 3 years, not to exceed 39 months. At the same time, the CFR requires leakage surveys every 5 years. What MDU and Great Plains is requesting here is that the atmosphere corrosion testing be done every 4 years rather than every 3 years in residential non-business district areas to coincide with the every 4 year leakage surveys, which are done as opposed to 5 years, are done every 4 years. That allows them the opportunity to be a little more efficient in the corrosion surveys. It allows them to use a little higher skill level inspectors, because that requires a little higher skill level inspectors to do the leakage surveys. They also propose to train meter readers to be more observant of potential problems. And the CFR does allow intrastate pipeline rules to be modified, of course, with federal oversight and federal concurrence. We had an informal hearing on this. It seemed practical and reasonable. Other states have done similar things, including Minnesota and Illinois. There is evidence that in the Midwest, we actually experience a little less atmospheric corrosion than they do in other parts of the country. So everything seems to be appropriate for this for this waiver, and I recommend concurrence and recommend passage.
And it looks like what the commission is doing here is we're allowing it once every 3 years, not to exceed every 39 months is granted. However, it's my understanding, and I'm looking for it in the order, that in areas where there are business districts, they have to do this once every year.
Actually, what we're doing today is allowing once every 4 years, not to exceed 51 months in residential or non-business districts. In business districts, you're correct, every year, not to exceed 15 months. It currently is every 3 years.
Okay, then what is it saying in Section 2?
Let me look here.
In Section 1 of our order.
You're talking about where the operator shall identify, inspect, and notify those areas requiring atmospheric corrosion control monitoring more frequently than every 3 calendar years. Is that what you're talking about?
It says we are
hot spots.
For evidence of atmospheric corrosion at least once every 3 years, not to exceed every 39 months. Am I reading an incorrect
I think
version?
You might be looking at the previous. Because what we're proposing is changing the 3 years to every 4 years.
Mine is dated October 3rd of 2007.
Okay, let me just
see.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so show me what you're...
All right, I'm just wanting to make sure that we're both looking at the same
chapter. Right, looks like we are. Oh, so I see in the order.
Well, it's related to the
related to the existing administrative code and CFR.
Right.
It's not changing it to that. It's related to that requirement. Right.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But it says that we're ordering, it's related to the requirement, the operators.
It's a waiver of that requirement.
Right.
We're ordering a waiver of that requirement, of the CFR requirement.
Not ordering it to that requirement.
Not to that requirement.
All right, then I'm going to ask that this be held over for admin just so that I can understand exactly what I'm approving then.
Okay.
Right? Thank you.
Sure, we can do that. We'll hold over to admin, but we will vote on it at admin.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Okay, thank you. Then KC2 is the new improved form of informing of purchase gas adjustments. And this is the Great Plains September gas adjustment. Great Plains is decreasing its cost of gas adjustment to residential customers by 3.94 cents per dekatherm. It'll change the cost of gas adjustment in the bill from 792 to 788 per dekatherm. It's due, of course, to the commodity cost of gas being lowered, as a result of no hurricane activity in the Gulf Coast and other and good storage. This should lower a typical bill by about 14 cents compared to last month and still be about 69 cents higher than September of 2006. So that ends the items in my portfolio.
Okay. And Commissioner Clark, please.
TC1, I move the commission issue an order in case number GE07675 granting the request of Plains Grain and Agronomy LLC, Enderlin, North Dakota, to discontinue business at Catherine, North Dakota.
Second.
Licensing Division received a request to discontinue business from Plains Grain and Agronomy of Enderlin for its Catherine facility. The facility is empty and there are no outstanding grain obligations at the facility. It has been sold to a private individual. Plains Grain and Agronomy has four remaining licenses, licensed elevators located at Enderlin, Marion, Sheldon, and Lisbon.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
That ends the items in my portfolio.
Okay, that ends everything on the regular agenda, and we'll now take some questions. I do, before we get to questions, want to comment on the fact that the commission went up to, we were in
Cavalier
yesterday for a hearing, and we were there for the Enbridge Pipelines hearings, and that's a 28 stretch of pipeline that goes kitty corner through the very northeast section of the state. And it was a very good meeting. We were there for 3 hours. There's two sections of pipe, one a 20-inch and one a 36-inch pipe that is being proposed in that area. And we had a number of people from the community who were in attendance at that hearing. So just wanting to report on that. It was a good day for a hearing up in that part of the state. And then on next week, the commission goes for another pipeline hearing, and that's on Tuesday. Is that correct, Kevin? Is it Monday or Tuesday? Anyway, that we are
out of control. Let's see.
I believe it's on Tuesday because I remember it was Orchestra Day and we scheduled that earlier in the day so it could accommodate my schedule.
Is it that soon?
Yes.
No, it's not too
it
long.
It's not. It's the 30th. Yeah, it's the 30th of October.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry about that. I was thinking.
You got me in a panic.
Okay. Anyway, in the near future, we're going to be going up a hearing for that particular issue. All right. Now we'll take questions.
Is the October 5th hearing been canceled?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that?
It was withdrawn. The complaint, Northern Plains withdrew.
The complaint was withdrawn.
Okay.
It was on consent, I think.
Yeah, it's on consent.
Yeah, I saw that. Northern Plains decided to let Otter Tail serve.
Yes.
Or at least not contested.
You know, when you see Promontory Point on the agenda, isn't it like deja vu all over again?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I mean, the issue is Promontory Point 3, Promontory Point 4, Sonnet Heights are basically the same issue, aren't they?
But the
statute is the same.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, what it's filed under is the same. Now, the individual issues in the case may or may not be different, and that's why we hold the hearing. But it's a similar type proceeding.
Mm-hmm.
On the consent agenda, I was looking at the rulemaking for wind turbine decommissioning.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't there something in the legislature about that was turned down?
actually, the legislature gave the commission authority to propose rules on wind decommissioning. And that happened in the final days of the legislature. And you can take a look at our proposed rules if you wish.
There was a bill that was killed, which would have set out wind decommissioning requirements. And that was, I can't remember, it was fairly early in the session that that happened. Mm-hmm. And in a sort of late conference committee type move, authority was granted to the commission to adopt rules, but it didn't specify what they were.
It was a reasonable compromise between all of the parties.
Could I'm sorry, but I missed this. Could you describe to me what happened on SW2, the Cavalier County Otter Tail project?
Yes.
What was the point of that?
This is that Otter Tail, we're all aware that Otter Tail has been interested for some time in constructing and owning 40.5 megawatts of the 159 megawatt Langdon Wind Energy Center. They were waiting until an actual contract had been signed with Florida Power and Light on that, and the commission received paperwork on August 8th of 2007. And what we are doing here is we are issuing a notice of an opportunity of hearing. And Dale, I have a map of the wind farm, and I have a copy of the application. And basically, it's this northeast section, F2 and F3 that are labeled F2 and F3 on this map, which would be owned and operated by Otter Tail and the associated facilities connected with those. And those are detailed in the application, and I'll be glad to show you where that is.
The actual turbines were sited in our previous hearing in order, with the uncertainty of whether they would be that power would be owned by Otter Tail or owned by FPLE.
Is that something that concerns the Public Service Commission, who owns the power?
Yes.
Emanating from
Yes, it does, especially with Otter Tail, mm-hmm. because that would go into perhaps rate base.
Mm-hmm. So the purpose of the hearing is what?
The purpose of the hearing is they have applied for a certificate of public convenience and necessity to construct and own. And so we're giving an opportunity to anyone who's interested in having a hearing on that to notify us by November 13th of 2007.
The fact that it's a notice of opportunity as opposed to a notice of a hearing tells you to what degree it does concern the Public Service Commission.
Just so that I'm clear, though, isn't FPL building them?
Yes.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
This would actually be, and I'm trying to think back, this would be the first investor-owned, utility-owned property. The Otter Tail one that they currently purchase power through, is that
XL, I think, owns those, that handful up in Velva area.
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Jerry's going.
See, I don't recall a certificate of need for that.
Come to think of it, I don't either.
Yes, they do.
Was there a certificate?
Yes.
Okay.
Must not have.
Oh, Axiona.
See, I think that's Axiona.
That's an Axiona, and it's being purchased by Florida Power.
The distinction basically is instead of buying the wind output, they are owning using the wind output.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Advantages and disadvantages.
And perhaps using the income tax credits. Who knows?
Yeah. I doubt that.
So I think you're correct.
Have you heard anything about the dispute between the petroleum dealers and Magellan?
We actually have.
Has anything resulted from that?
Nothing's resulted from it, Dale, but we do have on our scheduling and our admin portion of the agenda, scheduling the meeting that we're trying to facilitate between all of the parties. We've gotten some avoidance dates, if you will, from the marketers, and we want to put some things on our calendar so we can propose some potential meeting dates.
Anything else?
Right. Is Commissioner Clark going to be working this afternoon?
Well, sure, yeah.
Does that call for
this afternoon?
That calls for a
because
legal.
Because the Cubs game doesn't come on until doesn't come on until 9 o'clock. It's
right,
the West
right,
Coast game.
So
I might not be in early tomorrow morning. But I'll be here this afternoon.
He'll be in real early whistling, depending on if the game goes well.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, they're going to win the series against the Diamondbacks, but my prediction is that the Cubs will lose to the Rockies because the Rockies are exactly the kind of team that will knock out the Cubs. See, the Cubs don't lose to, like, the Yankees or the the Red Sox, the Dodgers. I mean, they lose to the Padres and Marlins and, you know, teams that'll be dismantled a year or two later. So the Rockies look like the most Marlin-like team in the playoffs, and that's why I think they'll make the World Series.
I can see a lot of analysis has gone into this and a lot of thought.
There's a lot of suffering.
That sounds a little fishy to me.
Anything else? All right, then we will adjourn for 5 minutes and we'll come back together at approximately 10:30.